Breaking Soul Ties with Shaladio. On this broadcast, Shaladio teaches God's word on soul ties and other relationship issues affecting the believer. Listen and be blessed.
Hello, this is Pastor Shaladio. You are welcome to day 11 of prayer and fasting, discussion on prayer and fasting. And we call the fast starting from today, 11th to 31st, 21 days of fasting. So if you started fasting today, you're welcome. And I'm going to be giving out suggested prayer points for all 21 days. Today is day one of the fast, 11th of January. And today the prayer point is that we're going to be thanking God for all he has done without asking him for anything. We're going to spend time praising and worshiping him. So you're free to thank God, praise him, and just for a change, worship him without asking him for anything. Tell him how good he has been to you. You are alive today. You are hale and hearty. Your family is doing very well. So there's a lot to thank God for. And the scripture I'm going to be using for that, the supporting scripture rather, is Philippians 4:6. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done in our lives, right from the day that we were born. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you. We thank you for the privilege of being born again, being saved, and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. We thank you for keeping us alive up till this point in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for keeping food on our table in the name of Jesus. Some actually do fast, not because they really want to fast, but because they don't even have the food to eat, so they are forced to fast. But we thank God that we are able to have some food on our table and then decide that we're not going to eat the food and abstain from it for spiritual reasons. But some people don't even have the food to eat at all, so they are fasting by force. Lord, we thank you because you have given us this privilege. Lord, we do not take it for granted. So we just want to say a big thank you to you for the privilege that you have given us. We thank you for blessing us, for keeping us hale and hearty, for watching over our families. Lord, we thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So days 1 to 5, we talked about prophetic utterances requiring a fight of faith. And then days 6 to 10, we talked about your personal call to prayer and fasting. And there we introduced the subject of traveling prayer. And we saw how Jesus responded to a depressive situation, something that was depressing him, something he wasn't happy about. Bible says that he felt, it was said, Bible said that he felt heavy and sorrowful in his spirit. So how do you respond to that? We discussed all this in episode 6 to 10. So make sure you listen to them. They're very powerful. We're starting another sub-series for another 5 days, and that will be praying in tongues. You see, praying in tongues is very important when it comes to prayer and fasting, because when you pray in tongues, a number of things are happening. But before I go into the benefits of praying in tongues, I'm going to take off both either I think today and tomorrow to actually establish something, because there has been this debate in Christian circles, you know, that praying in tongues went with the apostles in the apostles' time. There's also another debate that only a few people that God has pre-selected can pray in tongues. There's another debate that goes that praying in tongues is actually a gift for some people, not for every believer. Now, if you belong to any of those groups, I just want to say to you that keep keep an open mind as we go through the next 2 days. And I'll show you from the scriptures that these views are completely erroneous and they are not scriptural at all. And it's actually one of the ploys of the enemy, you know, to keep you from walking at the topmost level of spirituality in Christendom. So that's why it's very important for us to, you know, approach today's teaching and tomorrow's teaching with a very open mind. And we're going to see from the scriptures that very clearly that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every Christian, it's for every believer in Christ Jesus. So we're going to start now. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. Now this was John the Baptist, you know, speaking with people, and he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I." He was referring to Jesus, "whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." You see that? So take note of that. He said, "Jesus shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So we see John the Baptist here speaking prophetically that Jesus was going to baptize people with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, in this scripture, I cannot see any selection here. I cannot see that, okay, he says maybe he will baptize some of you who are worthy, or some of you who are special, or some of you who are pre-selected. I can't see any of that in the scripture. Baptism is baptism. You does not only refer to the you people that were physically present there, but refers to all believers. And we'll see that as we go on. And then let's go to what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said. Anytime people want to contest something, just go to what Jesus says. Now, you cannot tell me that what Jesus said is null and void because of what your pastor said. No, we'd rather go with Jesus than go with your pastor or go with any human being. So let's see what Jesus himself said in the scriptures. Mark chapter 16, we actually read from verses 15 to 18. He says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now let's begin to pay attention to the grammar here. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Jesus did not say, "These signs shall follow the apostles." Jesus did not say, "These signs shall follow the special ones who have been pre-selected." He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." So it meant that both the people who believed, who were preaching and believed, and the people who received the preaching and believed, these signs will follow all of them. And what are these signs? There are five of them. The first one, "In my name shall they cast out devils." So you see, the casting out of devils is not the exclusive preserve of the special evangelist who comes to your church. Every Christian is supposed to cast out devils, either out of themselves or out of their people in their surroundings. That's the first sign. The second sign, he says, "They shall speak with new tongues." So this is where Jesus introduced the subject of speaking in tongues. Then the third sign, he says, "They shall take up serpents." And that's the third sign. They shall take up serpents. So it meant, and we saw Paul do this in the book of Acts. He actually took up a serpent and threw it into the fire. And then the fourth sign, he says, "And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." So that's sign number four, which meant that your body was going to receive invincibility against forces, wrong forces like this, you know, poison and all the rest. Then the fifth sign, he says, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." So every believer is authorized and empowered by Jesus and the Holy Ghost to lay hands on the sick and watch the sick recover. So these were the five signs that Jesus said will follow all of us that believe. Are you a believer? If the answer is yes, then these five signs should follow you. Now, no pastor, no minister, no evangelist, no apostle has the right to talk you out of these five signs if you believe. Because you're a believer, you are entitled and you are authorized by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to walk in these five signs, or to have these five signs follow you. Do we understand now? So if Jesus said it, we throw away the opinion of men concerning this subject. Are you a believer? Yes. Then you are authorized to speak with new tongues. That's what Jesus said. So I will take what Jesus said above what anybody's doctrine about speaking in tongues. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So you see, that's the first proof that speaking in tongues is not for an exclusive preserve, but is for all of us that believe. Then I'm going to share with you five scriptural proofs that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was accompanied with and started with speaking in tongues. Five scriptural proofs. And I'm going to show you very clearly from the scriptures. And by the end of these proofs, you see clearly, if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you, and it is accompanied and starts with speaking in tongues. So when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you do speak in tongues. And I'll show that to you from the scriptures. The first scriptural proof we'll find in Acts chapter 2, the very first time we heard about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all, note the letters in red, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Can you see verse 4? They were all filled. He didn't say a few people were filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't say some selected people were filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't say only the prophet and the overseer were filled with the Holy Ghost. He says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Began meant that they did not stop after that. When you begin, it means there's a continuation. So they didn't just speak in tongues for 2 minutes and walked away and could not speak in tongues anymore. The Bible says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here we see for the first time, when the outpouring of the Holy Ghost came, they began to speak with other tongues. So the first proof that we see of people being filled with the Holy Ghost was that we saw them and we heard them begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that is how we know that the Holy Ghost came upon them. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Tomorrow we're going to share the remaining four proofs. Make sure you don't miss it. The Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is your inheritance. That Jesus has given all of us the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it is up to you to believe it and to receive it. But the Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. That believe in my name, they shall cast out demons and they shall speak with new tongues. That sign, Jesus said, will follow you if you are a believer. Are you a believer? Yes. Then you are going to speak in tongues in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome back to the second part of this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. Listen and be blessed.
Hello, this is Pastor Shaladio. You are welcome to Prayer and Fasting Day 12, and we're going to continue with our discussion about praying in tongues. And today is day 2 of our 21-day fast, and the prayer point for today is, Lord, I hereby come to humble myself under your mighty hand. Lord, search me and show me areas of my life where I have been walking in pride. And the scripture for that, the scriptural cover for that is in James chapter 4 verses 6 to 10. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So you see, if we're walking in pride, the Bible goes as far as saying that God himself will resist us. Now, you don't want God to resist you. So the thing that will make God resist you is pride. So it's possible for you to pray and fast and still be in pride. The Pharisees prayed and fasted and they were walking in pride, and Jesus always rebuked them. So this is not a time for us to boast. This is not a time for us to even come before God and say, look, Lord, and beat your chest. Lord, I fasted, I prayed. Why will you not give me that blessing? No. You're not going to get it that way. The Bible says he giveth more grace to the humble. And he goes on to say, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So you see, you cannot exercise the authority that Jesus has given you until you submit yourself to God in humility. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. So you see, humility is not something that God would do for you. The Bible says humble yourself. So it is an action that you have to take by yourself. You don't say, Lord, humble me. No, I have come to humble myself under your mighty hand. I mean, you saw what happened to the Nebuchadnezzar. The guy became a four-footed, was crawling like a four-footed beast, in the forest. Why? Because of pride. So it is very important on a day like this that we spend time, look away from your needs, those pressing needs, look away and ask God, Lord, show me areas of my life where I've been walking in pride. Show me areas of my life where I've been careless and, I've not taking time to obey you. Show me areas of my life where I've been proud towards people, where I've been proud towards you, where I've been proud in my life. Just show me such areas and teach me so that I can humble myself under your mighty hand. Search me and show me areas of my life where I've been walking in pride. And I believe that great things will come out of this. If you pray this prayer for the whole day and you still cannot find any area of your life that has pride in it that you need to deal with, then you're not being sincere. We are human beings and every day we need to do that search, have that introspection, that Lord, search me, show me areas of my life, and the Holy Spirit will show you that this area, that area, that area. And you see, walking in pride will cause a resistance against you in the spirit realm. We don't want a resistance against us. We want to break every resistance. So it is very important that we walk in humility. I've taken my time to, explain this so that we get it correctly. So we're going to, without taking much further time, we're going to go straight into our discussion that we started yesterday about praying in tongues. So yesterday we shared that John himself prophesied that Jesus was going to come and will baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And Jesus himself said that these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Jesus said, these are the signs that should follow you. The first sign, he says, in my name they shall cast out devils. The second sign, they shall speak with new tongues. These are signs that follow them that believe, not signs that follow a few people or selected people. No, them that believe. Then we started off with our five scriptural proofs that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was accompanied with and started with speaking in tongues. So we saw this yesterday in Acts chapter 2 verse 4. It says, and they were all means that there was no one was left out. So don't accept that doctrine. That doctrine is wrong, that you know, only some people are gifted to speak in tongues and some others are not. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Now, the second scriptural proof had to do with the salvation of Paul himself. Acts chapter 9 verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember, John prophesied that Jesus himself will baptize people with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So the same Jesus sent Ananias, and when in verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Can you see that? And was baptized. So Ananias came and laid his hands on Brother Saul, and scales fell off from his from him, and you know, he received this sight, and the Bible says he was baptized. Now, there's no mention here that he spoke in tongues. But if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, he said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Now, you see, that tells me something. Number one, he definitely began to speak in tongues the day he received the Holy Ghost. And number two, he did not stop speaking in tongues, because several years later, I was able to tell the Corinthians that I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. So we see here that Paul received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Paul can speak in tongues. That's the second proof. The third proof, if you have any doubt so far, this one should nail it. Acts chapter 10 verse 44, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, Peter went to preach somewhere, and the people he was preaching to were not Jews. He says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them. Can you see? All. So that doctrine that says only some of us or only some people. And you see, you know the funny thing I found about that doctrine that says that not everybody is supposed to speak in tongues? The people who propagate that doctrine don't speak in tongues. So it means that Satan sells the lie to people that not all people can speak in tongues. And in that selling of the lie, he selects you as one of the people who cannot speak in tongues. So because even if something is done by selection, I always ask myself that, why can't I be one of the privileged ones? Why should I be disadvantaged? No. All my life, I've always wanted to be advantaged. So why should I be one of the disadvantaged? The Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished. Now, believed meant that they had gotten born again and they had received the Holy Ghost. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also meant that the people who came were already filled with the Holy Ghost and they were Jews. And the Bible now says that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And 10:46 now goes on to say, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Can you see that? And this happened 10 years after Pentecost. Can you see that? So the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So what the Bible is saying here is that the way we know that the Holy Ghost fell on these Gentiles was because we heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So it means that if we did not hear them speak in tongues, they were not filled with the Holy Ghost. We did not know whether they were filled with the Holy Ghost or not. The initial evidence and the initial proof of people being filled with the Holy Ghost was that they spoke with other tongues. Can you see that? The Holy Ghost fell on all, not some, not the special ones, all them which heard the word. Can you see that? So that's our third scriptural proof, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was always accompanied with speaking in tongues. Now the fourth scriptural proof. He says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Can you see the two things now? Since you believed, meant that since they got born again, since they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Bible says, have you received the Holy Ghost? So we see that there were two experiences. The first experience was that they got born again. They received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The second experience was that they received the Holy Ghost. And let's read on. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So we see that the reason why they did not have the Holy Ghost was that they did not hear about the Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. So because what John was doing that time was that he carried on baptizing people and preaching to people while Jesus was also preaching. And those people heard about John's baptism, but they really did not hear too much about Jesus or about what, you know, the apostles were doing after Jesus went to heaven. So let's see what happened in verse 4. He says, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, which we read earlier, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see Jesus baptizing them again. But how did Jesus baptize them? Verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So you see here again, no exception. The Holy Ghost came upon all of them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. I mean, that was a bonus. They prophesied. Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues. It didn't say some spoke with tongues. It says the Holy Ghost came on them and they speak. So we see that the sequence was this. The Holy Ghost came on them and they speak with other tongues. So if the Holy Ghost has come on you, you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance. And the Bible says that all the men were about 12. Our time is up. We're going to continue with this discussion tomorrow. We have just one more proof to run through. And after going through that final proof, I will then begin to share for the rest of this sub-series on the benefits of praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is a very powerful part of Christianity. Extremely powerful. Some people have asked me, will God not answer my prayers if I don't pray in tongues? He will answer your prayers, but your prayers are limited, because you can only pray what you know about. But when you pray in tongues, you are praying about the things you don't know about. And that is very powerful. More details about this tomorrow and the day after. God bless you and see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shaladio. To learn more about Soul Ties on Twitter, please follow our Shaladio and our Soul Ties tweets. You can also visit www.breakingsoulties.com to read up on Soul Ties. To contact Shaladio, please send an email to breakingsoulties@charisministries.org. That is K-A-R-I-S ministries.org. You can also chat with him on BBM by using the following pin, 52C7F3CD. I repeat, 52C7F3CD. We have come to the end of this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shaladio. See you again same time next week. Jesus is Lord.